Welcome to the Front and Planning Guru podcast. I'm Liam, and we are back today with our guru, Dr. Gibson, with 40 years of experience in the industry and 30 years of research in front and planning. Dr. Gibson, welcome back.
Thanks, Liam.
So in the past two decades, with global push, we have embarked on a journey to lower greenhouse gas emissions. And, you know, the cost of wind and solar are continuing to go down, which is a good thing. And it's making the renewable or net zero projects hotter than ever before. So in this podcast, we keep highlighting the importance of front and planning and projects. And you have developed, Dr. Gibson, you have developed many tools in the past for a variety of different building projects. How do you see the front and planning process for renewable and net zero projects being different than what we've done so far?
Yeah, thanks. Actually, over the last 3 or 4 years, I've been involved as a consultant doing a number of assessments on these types of projects. And so at the root cause or root level, these types of projects are like other projects, right? They're projects. And we have to do construction, we have piping, and we have wiring. And, you know, we do the early planning, and we do design, and we do construction. But there are some things that are pretty unique about some of these projects. And I wanted to kind of lay down a few things that you have to be concerned about. First of all, I think that you have to understand some of the unique natures of these projects. I think, first of all, they usually involve or have involved technology that is perhaps proven but new. It may be new to the parties involved. It may be on a larger scale than has been done before and so on. So anytime you invoke or introduce new technology into a project, then you should spend more time in the front-end planning process, not less. Because you need to really understand all the nuances that can take place. Certainly, scaling something up many times shows problems that we did not anticipate if we were, you know, doing it on the scale of others. I think the second thing that you have to really understand, and front-end planning really is a people process. We deal with lots of people, and for many of the companies that are doing these renewable projects, such as solar, wind, and so on, or net zero projects where they're trying to meld together many technologies so that we have zero carbon emissions. Many of these projects are being proposed, and the sponsors of these projects are people who've never really done large capital projects before. And so you're dealing with new companies with perhaps immature processes for managing those types of projects. They may have some experienced people from the oil and gas business or other industry sectors, but, you know, in general, it's a group of people that haven't really been engaged in large-scale capital projects before. I think another thing that is very unique about these projects is the supply chain. Whereas if we're talking about the supply chain for an oil and gas project with piping and vessels and pieces of equipment, it's very mature, it's been around for a long time, and so on. Whereas if you're talking about the supply chain for renewables, and I'll talk a little bit about net zeros as a secondary here, then you're talking about supply chains that many times are going through many different countries, and also are everyone else is trying to tap those supply chains at the same time. So you have to really be concerned about the supply chain issue. You know, there's another issue here with permitting. Permitting generally is a good story here because many permitting authorities want these types of projects. And so sometimes they're almost falling over themselves to actually let you do these projects, and they're giving you incentives for doing these projects. So that's a good side of this. I think another thing that is really interesting about these projects is the whole idea of integration, because we're seeing, you know, solar farms, for instance, but you don't see solar farms anymore as kind of standalone. We've got a substation, we're going into the grid. You know, that's a fleeting thing with solar farms because we can only use the power as it's generated, right? So now we're starting to integrate battery storage into these so that we can store overnight, have capability at some point, you know, later in the day or whatever. And so you're now integrating two different systems, one of which has its own supply chain and the other has its own supply chain. And also you're trying to integrate those systems with integrated control systems that try to control how all that works together. More complexity as you go into that. So it's something to keep in mind. I think another thing that is unique about these projects is the cost estimating aspect. Because they are unique, they are scaled up larger, let's say it's a utility scale solar plant. You know, I mean, very few of those have been built in the world. So, you know, the track record on understanding their costs is not nearly as deep as we would have with other types of projects. So when we look at those types of situations, I think what I'm saying is that as opposed to less planning, you need to do more planning. And for clients and sponsors who are trying to do these projects, they need to understand that they need to get experienced people in there to help them plan these projects to be successful in that regard.
Yeah, I see that. I mean, you know, with all the big companies that are getting involved these days with renewables, specifically, you know, the biggest that we can talk about it is Elon Musk's Tesla and, you know, SolarCity and stuff like that. When you look at the scale of the work that they have, it really, for me, as someone who deals with funding planning and doing research on it, really makes me think about, you know, all those complexities that have not been addressed before at that scale. And so would you mind going through, I mean, let me put it this way. So with these kind of complex projects with renewables, when it comes to planning, how would you approach planning for these things, specifically when it comes to accretion of these different technologies out there? And another thing that for renewables, specifically the ones that work with solar and stuff like that, a lot of things are digitized. How would you approach cybersecurity? Because that's going to be a big, big issue.
Yeah. So, you know, a few things here. I think one, you know, there's a lot of tech that goes into these projects. And many times I think sponsors, clients underestimate the complexity of actually making this thing happen in the field. So getting field knowledge and construction knowledge into the front end planning phase is extremely important because, you know, it's some people say, well, it's not rocket science. Well, reality of it is maybe it's harder than rocket science trying to make all these things come together because they're huge, complex systems that have to work together. And many times there's development activities that must take place, for instance, trying to get your distributed control systems to talk to one another, you know, and also now to be able to control from remotely from different parts of the world or the country, right? So that's an issue. I think, you know, when we're talking net zero, usually that is a situation where we're doing some kind of manufacturing facility to develop some kind of product, whether it's some kind of fuel or other type of manufactured product. And at the same time, trying to reduce or offset any types of emissions that we would have. So we may have a manufacturing process, we may have solar involved in it, we may have wind power involved in it, so that we are using that to actually generate power to run the facility and so on and so forth. We have a lot of recycle that goes in so that we're trying to capture any kind of off gases and things like that. So we may be melding together six or seven different types of systems into one so that we can quote unquote call it net zero. As you can imagine, and by the way, I think this is great, but as you can imagine, this is a new generation of projects. And, you know, there's nothing terribly unique about it other than the new technology that we're incorporating and the huge amount of integration that must take place to make those projects successful. Certainly, there's a marketing advantage. If you can say I can produce a product that's net zero, you know, whether it's a hydrocarbon, for instance, if we're producing jet fuel or whatever, using other types of raw materials and it's all net zero, that's great. You know, airlines might buy this product and pay a premium for it and so on and so forth. So there's some advantages marketing wise, you know, but at the other end of the spectrum is you have to realize that you're going to probably pay a premium for the projects and you're going to have to spend a lot of time in planning and you've got to really understand the marketing and business opportunity that you have out in front of you and make sure that your estimate is on target for those types of projects. In terms of how to do the planning, I think it's meat and potatoes planning. It requires people and expertise. The project definition rating index that we talked talked about before works very effectively in doing this. I think that more time needs to be spent on looking at the integration, obviously, and looking at the technology options that we're choosing, and certainly the cost implications are out there that you have to worry about. So at the end of the day, I mean, this is the wave of the future. Eventually, this will all be old hat. We will know how to do this. The integration pieces won't be as big of an issue. The industry will evolve and become mature and understand what it's doing. But right now, as we say here in the U.S., it's kind of the wild, wild west. And it's a good thing. But just realize that if I would say anything about this, planning aspects are more important here than they are in mature industries. They're important everywhere. But here, you really have to watch, to dot your I's, cross your T's, make sure that you have your act together when you move forward.
So does that mean that we should be waiting for the next tool, PDRA next gen projects?
I don't think so. I think that the tool works pretty effectively for these types of projects today. It could be in some situations that if it's a program of project, for instance, we have a generating project that's married up with a manufacturing project and we have large infrastructure requirements, then we may want to split it up into three projects rather than look at it as a program as a whole when we're planning it, because each one of those components is absolutely critical to be successful. But the reality is that they're very different. A couple of them are much more technologically difficult than the others. So split them up, take it one step at a time. And I think, get really good people involved and make sure you know what your costs are going to be as you move forward.
That's a very good place to end. Thank you so much, Dr. Gibson, for sharing with us your knowledge today. Definitely use a lot of that. And looking forward to the next episode with you. Thank you for tuning into our podcast, dear listeners. If you have any questions or feedback, please connect with us. And with that being said, this is Liam from the Front and Planning Guru at ASU. Have a lovely day.